And it's another beautiful day to be alive. Yes, Greg Yates here to talk about the mysterious topic of head trash. You know, I get a lot of questions with people saying, now, Greg, would you just stop for a minute and clarify for me what you mean about head trash? I'm not sure if they're just incredibly blessed people who have never fought warfare inside their own head, or if they're thinking maybe further down the road than what I'm thinking. But for me, head trash is a part of everyday life. The thoughts, the beliefs, the things I've accepted, the intuitions that I have, all channeled through some unmistakable evidence of past failure, past experience, past and present circumstances, what I believe other people think about me, and what I believe about myself. It's just impossible to eliminate all of the variables that contribute to head trash. But today we're going to talk a little bit about head trash because, well, it's just such a radical topic. You know, we always think that if we just had enough information, we could make a great choice, right? We believe that if we had all of the knowledge necessary, that we'd be healthy, that we'd have great relationships, that we'd be multimillionaires in our businesses because we had all the right information. And of course, it's laughable because that just doesn't happen. In fact, there's a term used out there in the real world called paralysis by analysis, in that the more information we have, people would tell you, business leaders would tell you, the more information you have, a lot of times, the poorer our decisions are, and the more paralyzed we get in actually being able to remedy this in the decision-making process. I don't want to overwhelm. I don't want to go too fast. But in introducing the topic of head trash, what we're really talking about is the barriers to an effective decision-making process. A decision-making process that could be as if you were an android, right? You have the information, you make a calculation, and you get a certain result, statistically speaking. But we don't function that way. And in our lives, especially in our health, it doesn't really work at all unless that entire knowledge base is translated into a definition of success and a very specific decision-making process to get us to that definition. Now, if you're worn out already, I get it. Because as complex as we try to make life seem, the truth of the matter is we're all really pretty simple. I mean, the more focus and input we spend on the negativity, the more focus and belief that we have on the things that are holding us back, the less momentum we have. It's a very specific thing. What I find interesting, really interesting, just conversationally here is that we don't even have to believe something that's true in order for this to work. Have you ever looked across the room? Maybe you did this, you know, in the workplace or in your childhood in school. You look across and you saw somebody glance over at you, and there are two people talking together, and you think to yourself, they're talking about me. And you feel this shift, and you maybe get a little angry, and you build up all of this perspective of what could be happening and what might be happening. Or maybe that's not the situation at all. Maybe somebody responded to you on a text and it was like one word. And you're like, what does that mean? And then as the day creeps on, you start thinking, well, I wonder if they found out about this, or I wonder if they're mad about something else, or I wonder what they're, and you know, it has nothing to do with reality. It only has to do with this head trash, this gaming that goes on inside our own minds. I don't know if we're just bored. I don't know if television has dramatized everything so much that, you know, that it's essential that even the Weather Channel now, you know, is more like a drama channel, right? It's not just about information. And so as a part of the process of our lives, we're enveloped in this combat of head trash in order to proceed to a next step, a logical next step in the progression of our lives often point. I think about my journey, my health journey. And of course, I am the No Head Trash health coach. So, you know, got to get in there with health. But let's face it, health isn't just about physical bodies, right? Health is also about our imagination and our mind and our finances. And it's about our relationships and our spirituality. This is all health for us. And it all contains a degree of head trash. Things we believe about each other, things we believe about God, things that we believe about business people and about customers and finances and on and on and on, taint the realities of the decision-making process. We make decisions based on what we believe is true, not necessarily on what is true. So Greg, if that's the case, then why wouldn't simply knowing a lot about health and about dietary needs, you notice I avoided the word diet. I hate the word diet. If it's true that having information is going to help us make a good decision, then why is it that by and large, the more we learn about dieting, the less successful we are? I mean, 85% statistically, 85% of the people who lose weight on a diet gain it back. This is called recidivism. The recidivism rate of people going to prison is like about as high as the dietary rate. I wonder why. I mean, it's almost like they're the same thing, right? I mean, we're in prison as it relates to both of these issues, because until we actually get help or have a structured program of support and of decision making, we're unable to really break free. So what would that decision making look like? And what does support look like? I mean, why is it? Are you telling us that, you know, we all need counseling? Yes, I am, by the way. Yes, we all have addictions. We all need a degree of counseling. There's just no question about it. I mean, why do we gather in places of worship? Why do we gather when people are going through trauma? Why do we have accepted processes for PTSD and addictions and other things that we've accepted to be true conditions that people have to get through? And yet anybody who's ever faced that will tell you the same thing that you're telling me right now. If you're not working with a health coach and you're not really modeling an effort to gain new habits of health, and they all say this, I said it, you've said it, we'll all say it. And that is very simply, we know what to do and we just need to do it. We think that we're able to do those things on our own. And in fact, I always felt, maybe you can relate, I always felt that it was like somehow I was a failure if I needed help with those things. Somehow that if I were really, you know, if I were really proving myself on the field of battle, if I were really validating who I am, that I just wouldn't have these issues. I'd be able to come out and tell you the hero story of how I got it right, how I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps, and on and on and on. And that's the story I want to tell, right? I mean, that's the story I want to be able to tell. And if you know anything about my story, it's a real broken to breakthrough story. In fact, that's the reason I do all of this, is because I've understood that even when we don't think we're broken, we all have areas of brokenness. And I want to help you move from areas of brokenness to areas of breakthrough. And it really primarily involves how we address the decision-making process, whether it's the conscious decision-making process or the subconscious decision-making process. We all have all of these different cascading, continuous, nonstop issues that go on all day long, all night long. We dream about them. They occupy our subconscious. They seek reinforcement. All of these things are true. And as we, as I began to find ways with help, I got help to break free and to find a sense of satisfaction and a clarity of process in my decision making, a lot of these additional surface area tensions, the decision fatigue and all of the things that just wrap us up and tie us up, they all began to kind of fall away. I like to think of it as like I'm out there in the wilderness, but suddenly I can disseminate between the things that, you know, the forces that are my enemies and when the ones that are my allies, the paths that are able to take me where I want to go, closer to my objectives, and the paths that are wasting my time, my effort, my resources. Oh my goodness, resources. That's a whole nother podcast. I mean, the resources that we don't have to waste. You know as well as I do that by the end of the day, sometimes we're just done. We can't think about one more thing. We can't make one more choice. We got to be wise about how we invest those resources. Moving on. So by the time we reach a point that we're making a decision, how much does it have to filter through? Are we able to clearly see our definition of success? Are we able to clearly see and ask the right questions that will guide us from knowing what our enemies are? Maybe it's just simply the long path versus the short path. And maybe sometimes it's literally the wrong path or the wrong influences, the wrong choices, even the wrong people sometimes. We can't fix all those situations. Sometimes we have to make change. But by the time we make a decision, if we could clarify the influences that are helping us and causing us and pushing us to make a decision, it's almost never about just point A to B logic. Oh, I'm going to go straight point to point because of a piece of information that I've got. Sometimes it is, but rarely is that the case when we're making relationship decisions. And I would argue that we have a relationship, an intimate, pleasure-driven relationship with food and also with exercise. Depending on which side of the spectrum you're on, exercise can be an amazing amount of joy and pleasure, and it can also be an amazing amount of pain and torture. And how you perceive that is going to impact the decisions that you make, obviously. I mean, you can say to yourself, I know that I need to do 10,000 steps a day. And yet if 10,000 steps a day is painful, that's a lot different than saying, oh man, this is awesome. I get to go for a walk. You get my idea. So all these things contribute to the factor that I call head trash, right? Because what's keeping you from being lean, okay, what's keeping you in whatever undesirable state you're in, and I'm going to speak right now to the health side of things, whatever's keeping you fat is probably nothing to do with math, okay? It's nothing to do with the knowledge that you have. I mean, I'm guessing that you probably have enough information to make the right decisions. It's just about more than that. It's the head trash. It's the sense of giving up, the sense that we're going to be sacrificing something that's really important to us if we follow through. Often, even just the shift in head trash, dealing with head trash, can be simply shifting the burden of where is this fear of missing out? Where is it? You know, I had a lady that I was working with at one point tell me it just hit her all of a sudden. She said that she'd always been afraid of missing out when it came to, you know, high calorie food, fats and things that she just consumed all on a regular basis, sugar especially. She always felt that if she denied herself that, she'd be missing out. And then all of a sudden, she read a book I wrote about the 10 common fears that all leaders face. And she suddenly understood that what she was doing was her fear of missing out was causing her to miss out. Does that make sense? Her fear of missing out on this moment, this taste-driven sensation, was causing her to miss out on the other things in her life, like being pain-free in her ankles and knees and being able to play and get down on the floor with her kids and grandkids and being able to enjoy great health and wear the clothes that she wished she could wear. All of those things, even to get off of some medications that really were just a doctor said, you know, if I just lose this weight. But she failed to realize until that moment it triggered in her. It made an amazing flash in her brain that her fear of missing out on the moment was causing her to miss out on her life. You know, so that's head trash. I mean, if you've ever wondered what does the guy mean when he's talking about head trash, I'm talking about the things that are keeping you from being who you are capable to be, of being the ultimate version of yourself, the things that are doing that and are right inside your own head, your own thought processes. And you might say, oh, yeah, it's great, great. Sounds great. Now, what in the world do I do about it? Well, that's the subject, the topic, the process that we're dealing with in this podcast series. And it's also the process that I've been writing about for some time. You can check that out on my blog if you would, morethanbreakthrough.com, morethanbreakthrough.com. Well, I've got a YouTube channel, Breakthrough Leadership, as well, with a lot of great YouTube videos. And you can also read my book, Broken. It talks about the head trash that kept me broken for decades. That has been an inspiring book for a lot of people. And trust me when I say I'd love to hear your feedback on that book. It's a brutal story of my life. And if you're like, whoa, what? You know, well, then read the book. You'll understand. You'll see. But sometimes, you know, our pain and our story is able to be useful in helping other people. And I'm really hoping for that. The other thing is I'm in the process right now of writing a book that has to do with how to eliminate the head trash of our day. Starts on a daily basis, and it's really designed around the idea of creating this practice zone that we would exist in and consistently rehearse and practice the things that we want to actually execute when the performance comes, right? We don't just show up and sing a solo. We don't just show up and compete professionally. We spend a lot of time practicing and getting really good training so that when the performance comes, when the time comes to make the decisions, they'll be intuitive and they'll occur. So don't stop engaging with me, okay? I mean, let's deal with this head trash issue. I hope it lets you in some ways realize that this is not your personal failure. You are not alone. This is a process that everyone must go through, and we'll either be driven by the head trash or we'll learn how to rewrite the stories of our lives. I want to challenge you to join with me in this process and get rid of the head trash. And let's really improve the relationships, physical, mental, spiritual, relational, financial, all the relationships that you have in your life. This is Greg Yates. Thanks for joining me today talking about head trash. I hope you'll come on over to Facebook. Join our Facebook group, the No Head Trash Nation. And let's join together with like-minded people who want to find out what to do about the epidemic of head trash. Have a great day.